Welcome one, welcome all to this week's installment of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, your esteemed host. Thank you for joining me this week. This week's show is going to be a very, very special show. If you listened to the show last week, at the end of the show, I told you what this show was going to be about. But if you didn't get that far into it or have yet to listen to last week's show, this is what the show is going to be about. Back in October, I had this grand illusion, visions of grandeur, that I was going to do a multi-part series of supernatural monsters, werewolves, ghosts, vampires, anything cryptid for the month of October to celebrate Halloween. I did the first show. It was about werewolves. And honestly, that show, last time I checked, was the most popular show that the new installment of The Paranormal Patriot has had. So obviously this topic resonates with a lot of my listeners. So I planned on doing two more episodes, if not three, that month of October. Well, as I mentioned before, every October, the wife and I, we put on a huge, huge Halloween party for our family and friends. And we decorate the house. I mean, if you looked at the outside of the house, you would never think we decorate for Halloween. You walk inside, it's like walking into one of the haunted houses you pay multi dollars for to get scared at. Because we've got props, we've got lighting, we've got the only thing we don't have are animatronics. I think we're going to be working on that. But the whole house, bathrooms, living room, dining room, kitchen, living room, everywhere you go, basement, is just 150% decked out in scary attire, scariness. Go out into the garage, and that's my little area. I decorate that area, get that looking very scary, but that turns into my nightclub. That's where I DJ. That's where I get everybody out there. They're dancing, they're listening, they're having a great time. And we did that this year again. That was the second year in a row, and it was better this year, and I'm sure we're going to do it again this year, and it's going to be better than last year. But all that took time to do, and that took literally from September to the weekend. We had it on Saturday, the 27th of October. We were still setting up that weekend. So the first weekend in September, the wife and I would spend 8 to 10 hours a day per weekend. So that's Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 10 hours decorating. That's four Saturdays in September. Three in October. And then the last one, the party started at 5 and up until about 4 o'clock, we were still decorating, getting it ready. We got it done. So it left no time to do a show. In my visions of grandeur, my visions of the Supernatural Monsters series came to a crashing halt. And, well, it kind of died, and then I got into my political things, and then I'm tired of talking politics, honestly. I want to talk paranormal. Seems like politics have just taken the forefront again, and that will lead me into the comment of the week this week, because the comment of the week this week is why I do this show. We have, when I say we, I mean you and I, the listener, we have a listener who lives in Lansing, Michigan. He goes by the name of Chris. And Chris and I have conversed in the past, and I've mentioned him on the show before. But Chris is a, well, he's a Democrat. He makes no qualms that he does not agree with a lot of what I say on this show. But you know what? We all could learn a lot from Chris because he wants to see both sides. He wants to see how we or I think, being that I'm on the right side of the aisle and he's on the left side of the aisle. He wants to get both points. And there are so many of us out there that we just refuse to listen to the other side. The people on the right, they don't even want to hear anything about the left. The people on the left, they refuse to hear anything that the right has to say. And that is where we get all the gridlock and all the conflict in this country. That's why we can't get along with each other, because if somebody has an opposing view than ours, we won't even listen to it. We block them out. We say, nope, you're wrong. You're racist. You're a socialist. You're a liberal. You're a Nazi. I mean, the words being flung around nowadays are beyond hatred. I mean, they are, it's pretty bad out there, because again, if you don't agree with somebody's views, then that other person is completely wrong. You're not even going to listen to him. Well, Chris from Lansing is the exception, and he's the reason why I love doing this show, because he gives hope that this country is not that far gone, because I have to believe there's many, many more people out there on the liberal side, on the conservative side, that think like this, that we may have opposing views, but we are still able to talk and have a conversation. I may not agree with you, but you know what? I want your side of the story. And that is exactly what Chris did. Now, before I get into the email he sent, I want to give you a little bit of feedback on how Chris and I got kind of talking. There was a point when doing the show that it just honestly was not getting fun anymore, because every show I did was political. It was a hit piece. It was a political hit piece against the Democrats. And I had I have a lot of listeners that listened for that reason. But the show was the Paranormal Patriot. But for a while, there was nothing paranormal about my show. And I know I lost quite a bit of listenership because of that. But that's what I wanted to talk about. That's what I felt needed to be talked about. Well, it grated on me, and it was getting to be to the point where I wasn't excited to do a show like I am now. Now I get all excited. I'm in the midweek. I'm doing my notes, taking my notes, getting all everything how I want it to go. I'm excited again because I don't have that. I have to talk political. I mean, honestly, right now I could be talking about the Mueller probe coming to an end. I'm not going to. Refuse to. I could have talked about Michael Cohen's testimony. I didn't want to. We had better things to talk about. The gas tax in Michigan, yes, I had to talk about that because that hit home pretty hard. However, Chris sent me an email. And I you know, I can't remember when it was. Forgive me, Chris, but he sent me an email saying, you know, I listened to the show for the paranormal. I don't agree with anything you say. You and I are on different sides of the aisle. Every time I tune into a show, it's political this, political that. What's going on? And he basically implored me to change the format of the show to get more paranormal back into it. And I guess he was the little push I needed, because I knew in the back of my head, I knew I needed to do that because I wasn't happy doing the show. So Chris was kind of the motivating factor for me to bring paranormal back to the Paranormal Patriot. So for that, Chris, I thank you, and I'll forever be grateful, because you've helped my audience grow once again. So this week's comment of the week comes from, as I said about 50,000 times, Chris from Lansing, Michigan. He starts off, "Dear Tom, thanks for the great shows and listening to my previous feedback. If you do not recall, I am the listener that wrote in a while back that helped you reformat the show to be a less depressing political news broadcast. I still do not agree with most of your views, but I can appreciate hearing the other side of things, and I can find common ground. I am not a fan of our president, but I still try to respect the office. It does make it hard, though, when he goes on to insult a dead veteran for no apparent reason. Then he says, I for one, am not a fan of the proposed gas hike. Hey, a Democrat that doesn't like the gas tax. Common theme. I, too, would love to learn what happened with the previous money raised for the roads. I assume our roads are worse than the government thought, so repairs were more expensive, but I would love some official to just say so. That's a very good point. If some government official just came out and said, hey, we knew they were bad. We didn't realize they were this bad. We need more money. I might go for that a little bit more. But come clean. Oh, let's see. Then he says, Lansing has been slowly repairing roads just at a very slow pace. I would also propose instead of a gas tax, use the money from the new weed sales. We charge 6% sales tax on everything. Why can't 1% of that from weed sales go directly to road repair and say 1% go to school funding? In a billion-dollar industry, I am sure that would raise a lot of money. Perfect answer. Perfect answer. Don't raise our taxes. Just allocate the tax money to go somewhere else. So, and this is where I really loved this letter. Now, he has got a lot of information that I'm not going to go into right away. But he says, now on to the fun stuff I listen for, the paranormal. I like your plan of going through the classic cryptids. I propose you mention the famous Michigan Dog Man when werewolves are mentioned. How about a PSA about what to do if you see a cryptid, UFO, or ghost? How about tips for taking the best pictures? And then he says, for God's sakes, everyone has an HD camera now. Why are the pics still blurry? That's a very good point. Like, hold your phone sideways for a landscape view. Turn your flash off. Maybe try different filters to see what else is visible. Get objects in background so the size and distance can be determined. Move to get different angles. Things to make mental notes on, like smells, sounds, duration, etc., and write it down. Great points. Then, I'm not going to go over this, but then he gave me a list of, oh, let's see, that's 7 on that page, 10 different show ideas. And I'm going to tell you right now, at some point or other, all 10 of these will be a show. Every one of these is a phenomenal idea for a show that I think our listeners would absolutely love. So, again, Chris from Lansing, great letter. I mean, just the amount of information, not just, you know, what you thought about the gas tax. Thanks, you know, thanking me for the show. That's all good. I love that. However, the information that he provided on here for show ideas literally is going on my wall, and I'm going to cross them out every time I do a show about it. I got 10 shows right here, and they're all coming from Chris. You too can give me show ideas. All you got to do is do what Chris from Lansing did and contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So thank you again, Chris from Lansing. Great comment of the week. And more importantly, Chris, thank you for being level-headed. Thank you for being open. Because nowadays, that is a rarity. People are not open. People will not accept any other point of view other than their own. This morning, the morning of the recording of this show, I was perusing Facebook. Came across a post from a very, very close person of mine, somebody that I'd known all my life, who made a post, and I won't read it per se, but it basically boiled down to, hey, now that the Mueller probe is over, Trump has been exonerated, let's all get on with getting together and dropping this nonsense. Everybody stop hating one another and let's start making this a nation again. Which is absolutely right. Well, there's another person that commented that's very, very close to me. I mean, literally, truth be told, we're all related. I won't tell you who we are, how we're related, but we are all related and we've known each other our whole lives. The other person commented on that post and said, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. The government is not going to allow it to happen because the Democrats will not let it happen. They will continue to try and impeach Trump. They will continue to try and spread divisiveness. And this person who was posted originally came back and just lambasted her. You're an idiot. Why would you say that? You're the problem. And listen, this is what we have to get away from. It's over. Everybody needs to get along. Drop our prejudices. Drop our vices. Yes, the government, I honestly believe, wants us divided. I really, truly do. But it's people like the person that posted online this morning and people like Chris from Lansing that are going to bring this country back from the brink, because we can be above that. We can be better than all these people that hate out there. It's easy to hate. It really is. It's easy to hate something or someone. Takes a little effort to, you know, tolerate. I'm not saying love one another right now. Tolerate them and be open. It takes a lot of effort to do that, especially nowadays when we're being inundated with hate speech and being told what to like and what not to like and how we should think. It's all over the place, and you have to rise above it. Chris from Lansing can do it. I can do it. I know that times that may not sound like it, but I am always open to other people's opinions. And listen, I have a lot of friends that are raging. I mean raging liberals that have nothing but socialist views. And we may not get along politically, but there's more to a person than their political thoughts and their ideology. And we need to look past the ideology and political thoughts and look at the person, you know. It's as simple as that. I don't think it's that hard, but it's being made hard, but I guess, call me woke? Is that the phrase nowadays? Woke, I'm woke? I can see through the plan that they want. They want us to be divided. A nation divided on itself cannot stand. And that's as true today as it was when it was uttered by Abraham Lincoln. So, make the call. So, this segment's running long. I got to stop it here, else I'm never going to get through the hour that I have talking about supernatural monsters. So, Chris from Lansing, great letter. Keep it coming. Hope you enjoyed your little 15-minute of Paranormal Patriot fame. Maybe there'll be more in the future. And you can add that 15 minutes of fame, too, if you would contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So sit back, relax, open that mind. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the first set of supernatural monsters on this show, the vampire. Are they real? What's the history behind them? Find out this and more when we come back on the Paranormal Patriot.
Racking and jacking my mind up. Can I be telling the time? I don't care, no. I don't care, no. Send 30 messages drunk and dirty messages drunk. But I don't look, no, I can't be fucked to look. I cannot breathe.
It was so successful the first year, they're coming back for another year. Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st, 2019. Join them in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from their special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to shop their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, and they're adding a great new selection of vendors this year. Because everyone was so pleased with the location last year, they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, well, they're the best. This guarantees to be another educational and refreshing event. Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st, 2019 at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Join us again for the Michigan UFO Contact. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of the Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. She moving, got me moving. She moving, got me moving. She moving, got me moving. Got me on it, yeah. She moving, got me moving. She moving, got me moving. She moving, got me moving. Pick it up, speed it up, her body in full swing. She giving it everything she got. Through a wink and a smile, but her bottom lip, yes, I'm down. No more holding up the walls, we getting it all. Sprinklers going off, so steadily showing off, they filling off the walls. So if you've seen Interview with the Vampire, everybody that I have ever known to see the movie, and if you haven't seen it, it's amazing, great movie. But if you've seen it or read the book, nobody I've talked to has not said, yeah, that would be cool to be a vampire. That would be really cool. Because Hollywood is modernized and idolized and romanticized the vampire into this beautiful person or thing, I guess you'd call it. But this beautiful creature who is very well-dressed and elegant and the person everybody wants to be, the thing everybody wants to be. Well, the history of vampires and what they really are, not so illustrious and glamorous, okay? So let's start with the history of the vampire. The history of the vampire, well, it goes back centuries to ancient times. Now, despite being one of the oldest and most prevalent creatures in the world of mythology, the origin of the vampires has remained unknown for thousands of years. It wasn't until more recently that we were given even a remote glimpse into early vampire history. Now, only a vampire can create another vampire. So logic tells us that the history of vampires began with one single vampire who then created others. Much like the chicken and the egg argument, we had little insight into how the first vampire came about until recently. Now, logically, if there were no vampires to make the first vampire, how was the first vampire made? That's a good question. Now, according to legend, it all began in the Mediterranean. The first vampire started out as not a vampire at all, but as a human man named Ambrogio. He was an Italian-born adventurer whose fate brought him to Delphi in Greece. Now, the nutshell of the story is a series of blessings and curses transformed this young man's history into the first vampire. Now, specifically, it began with the sun god Apollo, who in a fit of rage cursed Ambrogio so that his skin would burn should it ever touch sunlight again. Ambrogio's bad luck followed when he ended up gambling his soul away to Hades, the god of the underworld. The next curse came via Apollo's sister, Artemis, the goddess of the moon and hunting, who made it so that Ambrogio's skin would burn if he touched silver. Boy, he pissed off a lot of gods. Now, the blessings came soon after when Artemis, taking pity on the poor young man, gave him the gift of immortality. He would carry his curses, his skin burning by sunlight or silver, but he would live forever in his current form. Not only that, but Artemis also gave him the gift of speed and strength to become a hunter whose skills were only second only to her. Now, blood sucking is also included in this blessing. Now, in the original vampire story, Ambrogio hunts swans and uses their blood as ink to write love poems to his lady, Celine. To me, sounds a little creepy. I killed this bird. I'm using its blood to write a letter to you, but it may be considered a little creepy by our standards, but it wasn't at all that unusual in ancient Greece to make do with what you hunted. In other words, if you killed it, use it. Ambrogio later moved back to Italy, now as a full-fledged vampire. Legend traces him to the city of Florence, where he creates the first vampire clan. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this clan other than they were most likely willing volunteers, humans who wanted power and immortality and were willing to trade their souls for it. It was believed that the curse would continue for any vampire where their souls would remain in the underworld, where they could return to claim them, but they could never leave. In other words, you can become a vampire, your soul leaves and goes to hell. The only way to retrieve your soul is to go down to hell and retrieve it, but you can never leave hell. Makes sense? From what we know of the history of vampires, the clan grew in size and strength until infighting created something of a civil war within the clan, and many vampires left to form their own clans. What happened to Ambrogio and those who stayed with him is largely unknown, though many believe that he still resides somewhere in Florence. You know, I never even thought about it. If this legend is true, then Ambrogio still walks among us, maybe in Florence, Italy. We don't know. It's kind of weird you think about it that way. But the word vampire did not appear in English until 1734 when it was used in the Anglo-Saxon poem titled The Vampire of the Fens. One of the earliest accounts of vampires is found in an ancient Sumerian and Babylonian myth dating to 4000 BC, which describes Ekemu or Edemu, which is one who is snatched away. The Ekemu is a type of Uruku, which is a spirit or demon who is not properly buried and has returned as a vengeful spirit to suck the life out of the living. The first full work of fiction about a vampire in English was John Polidori's influential The Vampire, which was published incorrectly under Lord Byron's name. Polidori was Byron's doctor and based his vampire on Byron. In vampire folklore, a vampire initially emerges as a soft, blurry shape with no bones. He has bags of blood with red, glowing eyes, and instead of a nose, he has a sharp snout that he sucks blood with. If he could survive for 40 days, he would then develop bones and a body and become much more dangerous and difficult to kill. That's definitely not Hollywood's version of it. Now, in 2009, a 16th century female skull with a rock wedged in its mouth was found near the remains of plague victims. It was not unusual during that century to shove a rock or brick in the mouth of a suspected vampire to prevent it from feeding on the bodies of other plague victims or attacking the living. Female vampires were often blamed for spreading the bubonic plague throughout Europe. Now, again, Hollywood and literary depictions of vampires are vastly different than their historical myths. Today's vampires are widely believed to be very old, tall, attractive, intelligent, and aristocratic. They're told to be sleeping in coffins on native ground, have an insatiable thirst for blood, and must be staked through the heart to be killed. Now, in contrast, folkloric vampires, now these are vampires before Bram Stoker, are usually peasants of low intelligence, recently dead, do not need their native soil, and are often cremated with or without being stalked. By the end of the 20th century, over 300 motion pictures were made about vampires, and over 100 of them featured Dracula. Over 1,000 vampire novels were published, and most of those were published within the last 25 years. Now, modern literature often states that vampires have many powers, anything from telepathy and mind control to the ability to communicate with and or transform into animals. There is no historic lore that corroborates these concepts and seems to mostly be a very recent development in vampire mythology. The idea of a vampire being harmed by sunlight is also fairly recent, and apparently a literary invention. Now, this totally contradicts the original legend of Abregio, where the sun god Apollo made it to where the sunlight would burn his skin, but, you know, this is Hollywood we're talking about. Though there have been reports that perhaps the U.S. government used such a tale to scare superstitious gorillas in the Philippines in the 1950s, while sunlight can be used by vampires to kill other vampires, as in Anne Rice's popular novel Interview with a Vampire, other vampires such as Lord Ruthven and Varney were able to walk in daylight. So if all this talk of vampires being immortal and having hunting skills just second to a Greek goddess and being able to build your own clan makes you want to become a vampire, well, then the next question is, how do I become a vampire? Well, folklore vampires can become vampires not only through a bite, but also if they were, okay, this is going to be a long list, and I don't, if this were the case, to be honest with you, if this is what it takes to become a vampire, 90% of the world is a vampire, all right? So, you can become a vampire through a vampire bite, obviously. But you can also become a vampire if you were once a werewolf, if you practiced sorcery, if you were an illegitimate child of parents who were illegitimate, if you died before baptism, if you were anyone who has eaten the flesh of a sheep killed by a wolf, if you were the child of a pregnant woman who was looked upon by a vampire, if you were a nun who stepped over an unburied body, if you had teeth when they were born, if you had teeth when you were born, or you had a cat jump on your corpse before being buried, if you were a baby born with teeth, if you were a stillborn, if you had a bat flying over your corpse, if you were excommunicated by the Orthodox Church, being the seventh son of the seventh son, if your dead body had been reflected in a mirror, you could become a vampire. In Greece, if you were a redhead, you're a vampire. If you died by suicide or sudden violent death, you may become a vampire. If you were improperly buried, or you renounced the Eastern Orthodox religion, you may become a vampire. Who isn't a vampire out there? Raise your hand. I mean, honestly, if your mom was pregnant with you and a vampire looked at her, you become a vampire? Really? These are the folklore vampires. I don't get it. Literally everybody should be a vampire right now. Honestly. Excommunicated by the church, born with teeth, illegitimate child of parents who were illegitimate. If you died before baptism, I mean, who hasn't eaten the flesh of a sheep killed by a wolf? I mean, it happens every day, right? Has a cat jumped on your corpse before you were buried? You're guaranteed to become a vampire. How can you not become a vampire in this day and age? I mean, honestly, everybody should be a vampire now. But now, what happens if you come upon a vampire and they bite you? Well, according to several legends, if someone was bitten by a suspected vampire, he or she should drink the ashes of a burned vampire. I'm sure you can just go down to your local Walmart and pick up those ashes. Now, to prevent an attack, a person should make bread with the blood of vampires and eat it. Holy cow. Things that repel vampires are the following. Churches, crucifixes, Eucharist water, garlic, holy water, thresholds, unless they're invited in, mirrors, sunlight, fire. Now, before Christianity, methods of repelling vampires included garlic, hawthorn branches, rowan trees, which were later used to make crosses, scattering of seeds, fire, decapitation with a grave digger's spade, salt, which is associated with preservation and purity, iron, bells, a rooster's crow, peppermint, running water, and burying a suspected vampire at a crossroads. It was not also unusual for a corpse to be buried face down so it would dig down the wrong way and become lost in the earth. Garlic, a traditional vampire repellent, has been used as a form of protection for over 2,000 years. The ancient Egyptians believed garlic was a gift from God. Roman soldiers thought that it gave them courage, sailors believed it protected them from shipwrecks, and German miners believed it protected them from evil spirits when they went underground. In several cultures, brides carried garlic under their clothes for protection. That must be a great wedding night. And cloves of garlic were used to protect people from a wide range of illnesses. Modern-day science found that oil in garlic, allicin, is a highly effective antibiotic. Now, we cannot talk vampires without talking about Dracula. It is largely believed that Dracula is based on Prince Vlad Tepes, or Vlad Dracul, which means the dragon. Now, this may not be so. There is no evidence that Bram Stoker had ever heard of the monarch while writing the book. Vlad Tepes was born in the fortress of a fortress in Romania in December of 1431. When he was born, his father, Vlad Dracul, was the military governor of Transylvania, appointed by Emperor Sigismund. A year prior to this time, Vlad Dracul was welcomed into the Order of the Dragon. The order began in 1387 and was a society committed to the military and religion. Now, Dracula, Vlad Tepes, became prince in 1456, and in his brief reign is estimated to have killed 100,000 people. He is named the Impaler because of his prolific impaling of victims on a sharp pole, often eating meals on the field in which his victims were suspended. He was assassinated in 1476. That is where the story of Dracula, in my opinion, comes from. I mean, Bram Stoker's not going to write about Dracula coming from Transylvania without knowing about Vlad Tepes or Vlad Dracul. I mean, it's just common sense. So, lastly, on the history of vampires, I guess, how do you kill them? Well, this is just as becoming as ludicrous as how to become a vampire. To destroy a vampire. So if you ever run across a vampire, you need to do this. You ready? Write this down. Burn it. Bury the corpse face down. Drive a wooden stake through its heart. Pile stones on the grave. Put poppy seeds or wild roses on the grave. Boil the head in vinegar. Place a coin in the mouth and decapitate with an axe. Put a lemon in the mouth. Bury at a crossroads. Remove the heart and cut it in two. Put garlic in the mouth and drive a nail through the temple. Cut off the toes and drive a nail through the neck. Pour boiling oil on the body and drive a nail through the navel. You know, I came into this with a little bit more hope that maybe vampires possibly existed. Now, when we talk vampires, let's talk today, modern vampires today. There are people that associate themselves and call themselves vampires, but they're really not vampires. They are people that they cosmetically get their fangs sharpened. They make themselves cosmetically look like vampires. They may actually drink somewhat of a concoction of blood, but blood itself for us to drink as a human being is poisonous, and it's because of the amount of iron in that blood. So to drink blood as a vampire in folklore and in Hollywood would actually be detrimental to a human. So we had these people going around dressing like vampires, getting cosmetically looked or cosmetically surgically altered to look like vampires, but you know, they're really not vampires. Do vampires exist today? You know, just like everything else. That's why we call it the paranormal. Because it's not normal. If vampires were normal, the name of the show would be the Normal Patriot, not the Paranormal Patriot. Because paranormal is something out of the ordinary. Vampires are out of the ordinary. There are many people that claim to have seen vampires. You know, many accounts in history go back to vampiric legends, vampiric activity. Now, of course, these can all be passed down and made into stories and made
you know, a mountain out of a molehill. But, you know, I'm a soft guy. I'm a romantic guy. I'd love to have the lore of the vampire be true. I'd like to think that there's some vampires out there in, you know, Ambrogio is still walking the streets of Florence, Italy as a vampire, and he has his own clan of vampires, and just like, maybe not just like the movie Twilight, because oh my gosh. Anyway, I'd like to think that that exists. The underworld of vampires exists, and they just kind of coexist with us and not really cause any problems. But they're here, and we don't know it. Again, I'd like to think that they exist, that they're real, and, you know, would I like to become a vampire? I don't know. The thought of it is pretty cool, I'll be honest with you. You know, the whole interview with a vampire thing, how you can go and watch time and, you know, see how technology has grown and just think back to the old days when you were in the 1600s or something. But then again, you watch all your loved ones around you die. And I don't know, ask yourself, if you had the opportunity to be a vampire where you had immortality, would you? Would you give up your soul for immortality on this planet to have beauty, intelligence, if you go by Hollywood, or if you go by the ancient folklore, you're a peasant with low intelligence? I mean, think about yourself right now. If you had the chance to become a vampire, would you? And if you decided yes, would you have the gumption to create other vampires? And I mean, honestly, wouldn't you want to take your family along for the ride? Could you do that? I mean, there's a lot of moral questions here and ethical questions that I think are getting way too deep into this show. But ask yourself, do you believe in vampires? And if you do, would you become a vampire? Let me know. Contact me. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, contact me and let me know. Yeah, I'd be a vampire. I'd love it. Or, nope, no way. I would never be a vampire. I was born to die. Contact me. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. And speaking of being born to die, we're going to talk next segment about ghosts, a topic I know very well. Let you hear my thoughts on ghosts. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Freedom's calling from the alcohol and saying nothing's wrong to come back home. The truth it's telling, but the toll it's taking, yeah, my hands are shaking with my soul.
The world of the paranormal comes to life in Flint, Michigan for the third annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. Ghosts, Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, demons, Ouija boards, psychic readings, tarot, mediums, private seances, gallery readings, all-day speakers and presentations, prizes, giveaways, and more can be yours to be had Sunday, November 3rd, 2019 from 9 to 6 in the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan. For more information, including signing up for their email newsletter to be the first to get updates, go to www.midmichiganparacon.com or www.midmishparacon.com. Tickets are on sale now.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
The thing always with you. Almost every single night. See a million points of light. What an awesome sight. But we take them for granted, cause they've always been there. Do you understand the meaning? Do you even care? The lights in the sky, well, they just didn't happen. It's time you learned a thing or two. You better strap in. Galaxies, suns, planets, and clusters. They can't be reached with today's thrusters. The universe, it is calling to you. An awakening is happening in full view. You better open up your mind.
All right, we're going to end the show this week with a subject that, other than UFOs, I think I know more about than anything else, and that is ghosts. For those of you who don't know, I have been a ghost hunter. I wouldn't call myself professional because I don't think there's anything professional about ghost hunting. I've run across many people that say, I'm a professional ghost hunter. Really? How do you become accredited to becoming a professional ghost hunter? There's no certain courses. I mean, you can take online courses, but that's a joke. Listen, you are or you aren't. I have been, and I still do partake in the occasional paranormal investigation. So we're going to talk about ghosts. Now, first off, ghosts, pretty simple. Ghosts are the spirit or the soul of somebody that has passed on, that has not left this earthly plane and is stuck here. Now, there's a couple different types of hauntings. There's a residual haunting where no matter where you are, what time you are there, it is going to happen. So in other words, if the lady in white walks down the hallway at 2:07 in the morning, every 2:07 in the morning you're there, you're going to see a lady in white. There's no interaction. That's a residual haunting. There is a poltergeist. Now, poltergeists are thought to be maybe demonic spirits or demons. That's a totally different thing because demons and ghosts are two totally different things. You can have a poltergeist and that's not ghost-related. It's a demonic-related subject, and it's totally different from what we're talking about here. You can have an interactive haunting where you can, and this is where I come in and I've done it, where you can actually interact with the spirit. I've been on a couple of different investigations. I was at the Dice Road Cemetery, and we were doing an EVP session, and my son and I were sitting in the cemetery and just doing an EVP session, and my question was, how long have you been here? And on that EVP, you could hear, I don't know. And it was clear as day. You know, we have trained and trained and trained not to talk during the EVP sessions, and I know that nobody said anything, but it's faint and it's in the background, and it's, I don't know. I've had situations where I've asked, make a noise, and all of a sudden you hear a noise. Knock three times, there's three knocks. If you are really here, I feel a cold spot here. If that's really you, move over to the left 4 or 5 feet, and bam, that cold spot's gone. You go to the left 4 or 5 feet, there it is. That's an interactive haunting. But the question is, do ghosts exist? Because as with any cryptid, and again, that's why they're called the paranormal or the supernatural, because they're unknown. They're not normal. They're not natural. So we have to classify them because many people have said they've seen them. The story of a ghost goes back to biblical times, but is there definitive proof that ghosts exist? Yeah, you can find pictures, you can find videos of very, very strange items that don't make sense that some people say, yeah, that's proof ghosts exist. But you're always going to have the doubters. You're always going to have the skeptics. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, type in the Gettysburg ghosts, and you may find the video of somebody taking pictures in a field on a tree line. And listen, for all intents and purposes, you can see Civil War soldiers walking in front of the tree line. But there's debunkers that are out there saying, nope, that's a weather phenomenon. That's heat generating off the ground. That's a reflection off of something, reenactors. You're always going to have the skeptics, the doubters, that are never, ever going to believe it. You could have a ghost walk up and slap you in the face, and they're going to be like, oh, that was the wind, swamp gas. And especially in today's day age, just like with UFOs, and just like with any paranormal or supernatural subject, everything is so easily faked now. You cannot tell what is real from what is fake. And that's where multiple witnesses come in. You cannot be the only witness and have a reliable story, because that's not good enough anymore. You could take a video of a ghost manifesting right in front of you, but if you're the only one there, it's not going to be worth its weight, because everything can be faked. And you can say, I swear that was really happening there. Unless you had multiple witnesses, it's just another video. Now, and that's the conundrum, especially in the world of ghost hunting. There has not been what one would consider definitive proof that even the skeptics can say, I don't have an answer for that one. Everybody knows about the Ghost Hunters TV show. And that's really what began the popularity in the paranormal. Is everybody started their own paranormal group right after Ghost Hunters started on the Sci-Fi Channel. Because it looked so cool. You sit there and you hunt ghosts, and you're always hearing these sounds, and you're always picking up these voices, and you're always seeing these shapes in the distance. It's not like that. A paranormal investigation is boring as hell. You sit in the dark for literally hours on end, and 99% of the time, nothing's happening. But you see these shows, and you get these evidence, these video and these photographic evidence just plastered on your 55, 65-inch HD 4K TV, and you're like, oh my gosh, look at that's proof. Again, it's all up to the eye of the beholder. Because what your proof is somebody's, no, that's not anything. That's a shadow. That's a shadow of a car driving by in the middle of the night reflecting off a seagull's belly. That's what that is, sorry. And you're never going to convince some people. There is no definitive proof that ghosts exist. However, if you do not believe in ghosts, I guess you do not believe that the soul, that we have a soul, that we have a spirit, because that's essentially what that is. I have a theory about our soul. I believe we as human beings are energy, that our soul is energy. And you cannot dissipate energy. So when we die, we don't go into nothing, because we are an energetic being. We are full of electricity and energy. And we have a soul. Call it what you want, a soul, a spirit, our inner being, whatever you want to call it. It's there. And when we die, I believe we dissipate and we transform into another form. And that form is energy. Now, does sometimes that energy stay around and interact? Possibly. I don't see why not. I don't see why, as energy, we would say, I'm out of here. See ya. I mean, yes, as energy, I believe we can travel wherever we want, whenever we want. We can manipulate time. We can manipulate space. So maybe we don't want to be here. I got places to go. I got things to do. I'm going over to this galaxy and I'm checking out what's living over here. Or we move on to a different dimension, different plane. And sometimes we can interact on this third dimension plane, sometimes not. Again, it's all up to how you believe. Now, me personally, I've been on numerous paranormal investigations. And I can tell you without a doubt, ghosts exist. They do. It's not in my head. It's not a misinterpretation. It's not a misidentification. Ghosts exist. How you perceive ghosts and what you think they are is up to you. I have seen way, way too many strange things that cannot be explained. I have seen a locked door, heard it unlock, saw it open, and saw a misty form walk through it with my own eyes, wide awake. seen it. It happens. It's there. Whether or not you want to believe in ghosts, that's up to you. And I mean, it's not going to be a life-changing event if you believe, if we find out ghosts exist. There's a lot of people that say the Large Hadron Collider has disproven the theory of ghosts. Because if ghosts existed, that we would have saw them in the particle collisions. We just don't, according to them. I mean, we're going to do a show about the Large Hadron Collider here shortly, because I've got some ideas of what's exactly going on there. But it's all up to your interpretation. I know ghosts exist. I think they can physically manipulate things on this plane. I think what is going on is we are an energy source. Our soul is a bundle of energy. And when we pass on, we are able, as I say, to manipulate time, space, and do whatever we want, go whenever we want, whenever and wherever we want. The reason most souls do not stay here is because, holy cow, I can move back and forth into time. I can go whatever galaxy I want in the blink of an eye, because we are energy. We have no constraints. We're too busy traversing time and space to come back here. Well, there's some that are able to do that. Some that take the form. Now, listen, limestone, is a great conductor of energy. And it's been called the videotape or the recording tape of nature, because limestone can record memories and record sounds. And there's a theory that when you have a residual haunting, that's every residual haunting, most every residual haunting that there has ever been, there has been an abundance of limestone in the area that picks that up and replays it. It's just like a loop. It's just like a video surveillance camera on a loop. There it is. Boom. There it is. Boom. There it is. Boom. At a certain time. That's a theory too. But I've interacted with what most people would call ghosts. I've seen ghosts. I've seen them interact with our third dimension. They know how to come back to the third dimension. They take, now how they take the form, I don't know if that's how we go in the form of how we left. I don't know. But regardless, trust me when I tell you, I've seen it with my own two eyes. Ghosts exist. We can debate this all day. You will have your points that say that it doesn't. Other people, myself included, who have witnessed it, know for a fact that ghosts exist. How you think ghosts are? What do you think a ghost is? Do you think a ghost is a spirit of the departed? Do you think it's a memory playing out? What do you think ghosts are? Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net, ghostseeker4@charter.net, and let me know. So that'll be the show this week. As I said, I've got a list of 10 great show ideas from Chris and Lansing that I'm going to go through. Not sure which one I'm going to use next, but next week you will find out. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Paranormal Patriot. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, this has been your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week. In the meantime, be safe, love one another, everybody. Let's all get along. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and this has been your host, Tom Velasquez.
I've heard it said that life is too hard. People throwing down aces when you have face cards. But it ain't that bad. In fact, I kind of love it. I love staring at the sky on a night that's moonlit. Walking on the beach, sand between my toes. See the waves crash and smell the salt up in my nose. The birds are chirping. Just